And what the scripture says is to roam the streets of Jerusalem, look and take note, search in her squares if you find one person, any who acts justly, who seeks to be faithful, then and only then, from these terms, I will forgive her. When they say, as the Lord lives, though, what God is saying is that right now they are swearing falsely. There is no truth in their confession. Lord, verse number 3, don't your eyes look for faithfulness. You have struck them. He's talking about us. But they felt no pain. You finished them off. You consumed them. You defeated them. But they refused to accept. They refused to accept discipline. They. He's talking about us that don't believe his gospel, or us who have lost its joy, or us that just needs to repent today. They made their faces harder than a rock, and they refused to return. I'm glad each of you is here. This is what a message is today that's in the gospel. Is the problem is that men and women, people just like us, have refused to return unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that God is not gracious to receive us and to welcome us, but he only accepts us on his terms. I cannot have things my way. I'm going to have to return unto God, and I'm going to have to live his way. I'm going to have to obey him. The eternal Almighty God is never going to change his program in order to fit in with man. It's every man's ambition, even little children, is to magnify ourselves, is to serve ourselves, and to use God in order to serve ourselves. That is a lot of what's being preached here in Africa and all over the world. That it makes God to be a useful idiot, that he does what I want him to do, and thus I am God myself. But that is a false gospel. The Almighty and Eternal God, he only has one program, and he's never going to change it. That program is the glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to understand is that Christ is the one that is worthy to be praised. He is the one that is worthy to be served. He is the righteous one who sits upon a throne because he was obedient unto God, even unto the shedding of his precious blood. He is the Redeemer. He is God manifested in the flesh. He is equal with our Father in every way. And what the scripture says about him and God our Father, in Ephesians chapter 3, it makes this statement. It's to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works inside of us to transform us and change us to Him. That's God our Father, the eternal God who created all things by the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus. And so all glory is being given unto God, not unto us men, but it's being given unto God in, through, and by our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain. He's the conqueror of sin and death. He's the equal with the Father who humbled Himself to suffer so that sinners could enter into the kingdom and that God could be holy and forgive sin, our sin, at the same time. And so when the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, He's saying that He is not going to serve you. He's not going to turn from His program of bringing glory to Christ in order to bring glory unto you and I, and we have to return. You understand what I'm saying? If a person wants to walk out on you and treat you roughly, it wouldn't be you going out to follow them. It would be them coming back and doing what's right. He told the prophet Jeremiah that they shall come to you, but you shall not go unto them. He already has a righteous program for glorification of Christ. And if you come and you get involved with His plan, He'll bless you to bring glory unto Jesus Christ. I was talking to a man on Sunday after church. It's a young man in his 20s, a handsome man, a believer of the gospel. And this young man told me, as I was asking him his ambitions, and you know what he told me? He said, I do not want that much money, but what I want is my time and the ability to serve God. And I asked him, what do you mean? If there's a bus that we have to purchase in order to bring people to hear the gospel, I want to help with that. If there's something that must be organized, I want to occupy my mind with that. I don't want to be so caught up in my job and making money that I cannot serve the kingdom of God. I said, that the Lord will add a blessing unto that young man. As you and I, as we approach God as empty, helpless, ignorant, unable to know what's right for us or what path I should choose, as we just make our request with our whole life, and say, Lord God, I only want you. I want to be with you. I want to enjoy you. I want to give you glory. I want to sing your praise. I want to worship you from the heart. I want to serve you with everything I got. Just put me in the right way and make me able to do it. That is a plea that God will hear. That's how I got here. He answered my cry. First, He put love in my heart for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgave me of my sin, and He made me happy, ma'am. And then with joy and love in my heart, I asked Him, what can I do for you? is it wasn't being done to earn anything. Christ died upon the cross. Our righteousness is the blood he shed. He's our obedience. He's our acceptance. But now, what can I do for you? And if you and I do that, if we lead that kind of life, he will be with us, he will receive us, and he will help us. That's a promise from God. And he even says so, if you look back again to into Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 1, this is what it says. It's the Almighty God says to roam through the streets of Jerusalem, of that religious place, of that religious center. But you can say the same thing about Shomolu Lagos. Look and take note and search in her squares. This is what God's doing. It's very similar as to what he did as he was talking to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if there's even 10 righteous, I'll spare the whole city. But look what God is after. If you find one person, any who acts justly, who does what is right, who does not steal from his neighbor, who does not live unrighteously, who brings glory to God in their character, who lives unto the service of Jesus Christ, who seeks to be faithful, who lives by the gospel as it's written in this book. In the U.S. right now is a big debate that's going on over the women preachers. But the Bible says, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence in the house of God, and she's not to do the teaching over men. But did you know that a person can believe everything that the Bible says and still be in rebellion against God and not live by it? A person can actually practice a whole bunch of things that God says and yet still be in rebellion against God in their heart. Because what the scripture says about Herod is that he heard John the Baptist gladly, and he did many things that Brother John told him to do, but he never repented. That's what we were talking about on Saturday, as we have a meeting. It's in my home every Saturday. It's at 1 o'clock p.m. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back. But we were talking about as to how a person can go to church to hide from God. A person can read their Bible and can study it, but never repent. A person can be a preacher, but have his heart 10,000 miles away from God. And what the Almighty God here is saying is that the people who he is looking for is to deal with his word very faithfully. They don't make it up. They don't take out the portions that me and you, we don't like. But me and you, we take all of it and we just bow down to him and say, Lord, make me able. I can't live this Christian life as you say, but you can make me able. I don't want to play games and deceive you and deceive myself. I want the power to serve God. If he finds anybody like that, he'll spare you. But these are the terms and the Almighty God is not ever going to budge and do wickedly. By blessing you and prospering us with his joy and peace as we live for ourselves. He cannot let me and you unto serve ourselves and still be God. He's going to give us joy as we come back to him and live for his glory. He's going to give us peace as we're all out in our trust of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got people I know all over the world who are still guilty of their sin because they're not trusting Christ but themselves. I got friends all over the world who are not happy. Hi, sir. How are you? Yes, sir. Who are not happy even though they are very religious. I got friends who are just like me and how I was, who are trying to serve God in their own strength instead of in the power of his Holy Spirit, what the Bible calls his free spirit. It's a gift from God. The ability to serve God comes from God. And that's what me and you need. We need a miracle. We don't need a religion that you and I can perform. What me and you need is something that's impossible with man. That's the gift of God. And so the Almighty God is looking for people who are faithful, who seeks to be faithful, and he makes his promise, then I will forgive her. You come to God, I come to God the same way, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his son, in order to be made his slave, his servant. And he'll give you the grace and me the grace to do his will. He'll be with us. He will help us to overcome our sin. He will bless our hearts with peace and gladness. He will be a faithful God. But the issue is, my brothers, I have to return to him. And this is something that's very vital. Me and you, we have to get to God from our heart. It's not just enough to hear a sermon and to talk to a preacher. That won't do it for you. If it isn't enough to just read your Bible or to study Calvinism and theology, you have to get to God by faith. And that's the second point, is that this true religion has to be in our heart. It's a heart religion. It's a returning unto God from your heart. It's from our heart that we serve him. Because I know people, just like you do, I'm sure, and maybe you're one of them, but I hope that you don't stay that way, who know everything about repentance but have never repented. That's where I come from. There are people who read the Bible and read books all day who have never repented. And they are very moral people in the eyes of men. If a man may have a beautiful family, great children, a beautiful job, a great wonderful job, and he may live in a glorious place like California, LA, or San Francisco, beautiful cities, and yet his family has turned him into idolatry. His children have become his God. His wife is now a part of his glorious kingdom. And here is the problem. He attaches our Lord Jesus Christ unto that and thinks he's saved. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not an attachment unto our life. He's whom we worship. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our everything. And I can be going to the right church. I can be preaching the truth myself. But if the Lord Jesus Christ is not my glory, is not my chief joy, it is not what makes me passionate, if my heart is on something else, it's idolatry. I have to have a heart that has been fine-tuned unto God. Then it makes my family, my children, my job, the things that you and I may do, pleasing in God's sight, as long as he is first always. Not just by words, but from heart affection, so that you love him supremely. One of the greatest men I've ever read about is a man named John Payton. And he was a missionary into the islands over near Indonesia in the South Pacific. But an even greater man perhaps was his father. Because in a day when Scotland was not sending out any missionaries, this man, who was an elder in his church, was praying both day and night, not only that God would send missionaries, but that God would take his son. What a dad. And so his son was able to absorb his father as he would walk by the prayer room and hear his dad pleading with God that his son would be a missionary of the gospel. And what I'm saying is that this man loved God more than he loved his son. And that's what made him unto love his son and to desire his son to serve God, even to the death. And you know what happened? That boy John Payton went unto God eventually and said, "I cannot live like my dad. You got to help me." And it was through his father's example he came to Jesus Christ. That's parenting 101. That's how we got to be. Too many people are only concerned if their children have money or an education. It shows you where your heart is. It's on the world. And then you use God in order to get stuff, and it's not God being worshipped, but stuff, and meaning yourself. But when we worship him, and we say, "I'll die for you. I'll do whatever you say and take everything I have," he'll forgive you. He'll receive you. He'll bless you right in here. He'll make you able to serve God. And you'll have the sweetest peace and the greatest joy. And there won't be anybody who can stop you in this world. Of the praise of men, it will mean nothing. And the praise of God, the approval of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. It'll be in your heart every day. I'm as unworthy as any man living, but he's with me. And that's what I want you to have. I want you to serve God from your heart, in, through, and by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing in existence. It's the sweetest peace that there is. It's the truth. It is the only way to be happy in this world. It isn't by things. People say, well, how can you come to Nigeria and be happy? Because God is here with me. So it doesn't matter what the street looks like or what the power situation is or if there's mosquitoes or not. The only thing that matters is to do God's will from your heart and to know that he's with you. His forgiveness, his peace, his joy, his power. And even though me and you, even though we fail day after day, as we keep coming to him for this purpose, he's with us over and over and over. He's faithful unto the faithful who fail so often. He's good unto the sinner who seeks his face. Unto the person that says, this is the only thing I want is you. He gives them everything which is himself. There's no higher service than God. It can make an ordinary job into a missionary. I have a man in the U.S. that supports me. He is a limousine driver. He's not very rich. But on my PayPal, every so often, each month, is he makes his gift. And then he began to send me the money from his tips. It's because he heard I might have a need. And so now that this man's job as a limousine driver is a missionary. He's not just working for himself. He sends me money to preach unto you. And I know he's happy. I can see him growing. As he wrote me and he told me that this particular evil that was in his life for so long, he finally conquered it. Because the Almighty God blessed his faithfulness unto something just so small. But he gave it from his heart. It's not the size. It's the heart. It's the service that's unto God. That's unto his son who is worthy. He was slain for sinners. He was slain for you and me that put our trust in him. Point number three is this. Is the only way to maintain his power. As the Lord said, that the problem is that he refused to return. And if I wander away in my heart, as I do every day, I have to come back. I have to come back. Just like Israel had to go out in the wilderness to pick up that manna every day. Every day, me and you have to go back unto the Lord Jesus Christ as people who cannot function unless he blesses us. Who cannot preach unless he gives us something in the power of the Holy Spirit. Who cannot serve God and who cannot be gracious and kind and truthful and upright. Who can't repent unless he gives us repentance. And as we come to him this way, as we return every day, and as we come back from the joylessness of Christianity without Christ. I remember a sermon I preached a long time ago, The Absence of Christ from Our Christianity. The sermon, it was at Christmas time. It was called The Absence of Christ, not from Christmas, but from Christianity. And that's when the joy is gone. That's when the power over sin is absent. That's when the gospel is not being received inside of our heart. And so I've got two things as far as counsel, and each of these things, I received them afresh today. The first one is in the book of Luke, chapter number 11. And he says this in verse 9. Our Lord Jesus said that, so I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. If he and you, we have to seek the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found. We have to turn to him. We have to plead with him. We have to beg him. We have to say, Lord, be merciful unto me and restore the joy of my salvation. Don't let me just walk around with Christ in my head and not in my heart. That's an abomination. That's why there's no joy in our religion. It's not real in the power of the Holy Spirit. But keep asking and it will be given. Keep searching. Keep looking for it. Keep coming unto Jesus Christ. Keep calling out to him in prayer. Ask him to teach you as to what I'm saying. Ask him to show you the truth of the things I'm talking about from his word. Ask him to speak peace unto you. Tell him that you can't live without him. Tell him that you need his joy and that you cannot accept anything else as a substitute. You have to have his joy. You have to have his peace. You have to have his power. And there are times, my sister, it comes quickly, but other times I need to seek him and confess. Because you know what happens? Our hearts are so cold and prone to wander back unto this world. It can be watching television. It can be your wife and children. It can be your job. It can be your hobbies. It can be your laziness. But our heart, it can even be trying to study religion. That's how I lost my way, brother. I lost my way preaching instead of worshiping God. And then that preaching, it took the place of the love of Christ. And then everything just went down. But when Christ is everything, and only he can do that, That's why we go to him and say, Lord, fix my heart. Change me. Make me love you. Make me warm towards you. Make me see you. Show me your glory. That's what Moses said. Show me your glory. Let me see you for who you are. Make my heart burn. Make my words real. Make my life in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go in the flesh. There was a man who had been preaching, and he had a nice little church, but he had no power. And then they came to him one day before the service, and he was in his office, and the man said, I will not go back out unless you go with me. That's how we have to live our life, with supernatural power. And so the counsel is plain. Our God is to be sought. These things are real. As you see the promises of peace and joy and salvation and holiness of character, these things are real. As you see love towards God and your neighbor, these things are real. I want to see more of the older children take care of the little ones instead of acting like a bully to them. And I want to see that in the whole country. Love and justice and truth, uprightness of character and compassion on men. But he says it plainly. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking. Keep going unto God. Keep pleading with him. And the door will be opened unto you. There's not a man or a woman who will seek after our Lord and not find him. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And he's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the sweetest thing in the world. This is my last text. It's in the book of 2 Timothy. And that promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, my brothers, is the most important thing in the world unto me. Because after he restored my soul, I did not want to go back into my sin. I wanted him to stay near to me. And so he made the promise, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, you will find. And it's been 3 years, and he has been faithful unto that task. He has been found. Even when I've sinned, he's been found all over again. Because I've gone to him helpless without anything else but Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. That's the promise of God. That's the faithfulness of God. That's a person that does truth faithfully, who comes to him in repentance. Because all God is saying is, return, come back, come. But the last text is in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it says this, hold on to the pattern of sound teaching, we got to have the sound gospel, that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I've got to hold on to the true gospel in faith and love. It can't just be in my head. It can't just be something I say. It has to be something I do, because it has power inside of me. And the only way that this is going to happen is to guard, is to keep, is to watch over it, is to hover over it. It's like a mother is going to watch her children as they're in the street, as they're crossing over through traffic, take it by the hand and lead and guide and look both ways. Take it as precious and promise not to forsake it. But here's how you guard your soul and your relationship with God. It is through the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, that's how you guard that good thing that's entrusted to you. Is you got to tell God, you keep me hot in the gospel. Oh God, I can feel myself cold. I can feel myself being drawn back into this world. I can feel myself careless about the souls of other people. I feel it, oh God. I can feel a conviction in conscience. I can feel the guilt and the shame of not having fellowship with you. I begin to feel the oppression and the lack of peace and the heaviness on my mind. And then I got to go back and say, oh God, you keep through the power of the Holy Spirit my soul righteous with you. And you know what I found every time? That the Almighty God takes me back. And he'll take you back. And that's the exhortation. The problem was that they did not return. But if you and I return, he will receive us. If we come to him on his terms, it's to bring glory unto Jesus Christ. He is not going to let you or me to live any other way but to bring glory unto the Son of God who is worthy. It's to come back to him in my heart in order to worship him, not just in my head. And it's to seek him. It's to come back to him constantly. It's to seek him. It's to search for him. And ultimately is to rely upon God the Holy Spirit to make us love God. Thank you. As I have, it's a few books here. If anyone is interested, it's the book is for free.
He said the book is for free. No, Kabaibu, we move back. I have any questions.
Sorry.
Okay. So you.
Oh!